Good morning, everyone. We are looking for the book of Romans with a big main idea. What it is? It's a question. What is the theme, the main theme we are looking for? Huh? You can, oh, look. Good news for everyone. This is the gospel, the good news for everyone. And yesterday I was having coffee with friends, and they were surprised when I told them that they could be Brazilians. And I told them that, you know, everybody here could be a Brazilian. And they really was surprised for them. They said, how? Yeah. Because for Brazilian, you are Brazilian when you're born there. Doesn't matter what kind of race you have. So if you are walking in São Paulo, for example, depends of the region, we see so many, could be Chinese, you know, the biotype Chinese, or maybe could be Korean. Now I can't separate. Before I didn't know how to separate who is Korean, who is Chinese. For us as a Brazilian, it was difficult to do this. But the point is that when I look for them, I never think, okay, they are Chinese. No. In my whole life, when I look them as a Brazilian, I say, they are Brazilians with maybe parents or grandparents. They were Chinese or Koreans or, yeah, doesn't matter, or Africans or Afghans. But in our heart, in my heart, they were Brazilian. So, why I'm saying that is because I start to think that although we have so many troubles in Brazil, I can feel that Brazil is a piece of heaven. People of all races is there, live together, and are considered Brazilians. When you come to God, to Jesus Christ, you're born again. And when you're born again, we will start to become part of the same family. The same nationality, citizens of heaven. Doesn't matter what country you are, doesn't matter what color you have, we are all one family. So when you look for the book of Romans, the main idea is the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Pastor Phil talked last week that Paul had a very special relationship with the church in Rome. Do you remember how he called? A gospel relationship. And this gospel relationship, celebrates active faith. This gospel relationship is wrapped in faith. This gospel relationship promotes mutual encouragement. And this gospel relationship is growth-oriented. This is what we talked last week. Today we have only two verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16-17. And I invite you to really meditate in these two verses. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, by the righteous man shall live by faith. In these two verses, Paul gives three statements here, and I would like we can cover these three statements here. The first statement is the gospel of Jesus reveals the power of God. Can you see that? Look for the first verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. The gospel is the power of God for salvation of everyone. The gospel presents here an almighty God who acts according to His sovereign will. It's everything about God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's God's will. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, 12 says, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestinated according to His plan, to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Everything is about His will. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. My salvation, your salvation, our salvation has one ultimate goal. It's God's glory. It's everything about Him. According to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can affirm three truths about the power that is revealed in the gospel. The first truth is the gospel is the manifestation of God's power for salvation. The power of Jesus Christ can save you. The power to save is only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of save is not in a noisy Pentecostal church. But don't be happy. The power of save is not in a silent, in traditional church too. The power to save is only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other book in the world that can lead you to be saved if it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no a different religious philosophy that will lead you to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people try to earn salvation by good works. Be good. But the Bible says that salvation is only in Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else. It's only in Jesus Christ. The gospel has the power not only to give eternal life, but has the power to transform man. The true knowledge about God is in the gospel. I like this verse here when say in John 17, 3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. When I became a believer 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, I was 20. Wow, it's really more than, yes, 28 years ago. I'm getting old. So, when I became a believer, I always think about eternal life in future. But when I read this verse, it's tell me something different. They said, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the eternal life. It's no God. It's a relationship. In that kind of relationship, I don't need to wait until the heaven. I can have right now. This is the eternal life. We can enjoy the eternal life now. We don't need to wait to die, go to the heaven. We can have this now. And this is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second truth about the power of God is the power of God is liberating. John chapter 8 verse 32-36 says, then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if its son set you free, so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Only Jesus Christ can give true freedom. No church in the world in itself can give you salvation. This church in itself cannot give you salvation. Only Jesus Christ. Church did not save nobody. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Only the power of God through Jesus Christ can set us free. The third truth about the power of God is the power of God is a transforming power. 2 Corinthians, oh, I love this verse. I think it was the one that I memorized first when I accepted Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have to come. How precious is this verse? Doesn't matter what your life before. When you are in Christ, you are a new creature. You start again in Christ. It's beautiful. The Christian's life, it's a constant process of transformation. This process is essential for us to know the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We need to understand that this power of transformation is not in me, is not in you. It's all in God. Only Jesus has the power to turn sinners in God's servants. Only through the power of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, my dear friend, as you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you and will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." When I read this verse in my early Christian life, I was full of doubts. When they said here in the end of verse 12, "Continue to work out your salvation." I said, in Portuguese, the version I remember, that was "developing your salvation." And for me, when I read this verse, I was, oh, okay, how can I? I need to do things to be saved? I need to do, how can I develop my salvation? Salvation is not by faith and that's it. What's happened here? What Paul want to say? And I start to understand that, oh, okay, something is here more. We need to go deeper to try to understand what Paul wants to say. And came in my mind that the salvation here come in three dimensions. Or maybe three layers. I don't know the exact word we can use. Like, the first dimension when we accept Jesus, we are saved from the punishment of sin. This is the first layer. It's the first dimension. It's when God, as a supreme judge, that I hope this will happen next Tuesday, I declare that Tony belongs to you. Okay? So, God says, I declare that Jonathan is righteous. So he is saved, the first layer, the first dimension. He is saved automatically for all for the punishment of the sins happened only one time. No appeal. But there is a second dimension or a second layer of salvation. So we are saved for the punishment of sin, but in the moment that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved from the power of sin. What that does mean? It's what before you don't have power to fight against the sin. Now, because the Holy Spirit that is in you, you have now the power to say no to the sin. When before Christ, you didn't have hope and strength to say no to the sin, now you have the power and strength to say no for your flesh. This is what Paul says too, that I punch my, how you say it in English? How? Beat? I beat my body. It's a fight. This is us now. We are in this process. This process called sanctification. So, day by day, we're fighting. Fighting against the sin. What comes outside and inside is all here. We are in this phase. But we'll be a third layer or a third dimension. Then this will happen only in the heaven. So we are saved from the punishment of sin. We are saved from the power of sin. But in the glory, in the God's presence, we will be saved from the presence of sin. In that stage or that dimension, the sin would not be present anymore. This will happen only in the heaven. So when I read this work out your salvation, for me, help me, at least for me, to understand this as this process. That's this process. So the second statement we see here is in verse 17, part A. So the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals the justice of God. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. So, in another word, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. So we have three ideas here too. First, God is totally righteous and needs to punish our sin. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. God is totally righteous and holy in all his actions. So he is so pure that he cannot see evil without punish. If God act with us only with righteousness, we will be all be condemned. Remember, Romans 3:23 say that all are condemned. All fall the glory. Just came in Portuguese now, the verse. God is righteous and man is sinful. Man cannot save themselves, for salvation for man is impossible. But God is just, God is righteous. It's because God is just, he needs to punish the sin. This is one hand. But God is merciful too. So God is totally merciful. So he decides to justify us, forgive our sin. He cannot deny his own nature. He is just, fair, and merciful. So what was his plan? Isaiah chapter 43:25 says, I am the one who weeps out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God does not take pleasure in the sinner's condemnation. There is no pleasure on him on that. There is. By his mercy, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for our sins. This comes one last thing here. Because of that, we can see that God is totally coherent. He is fair, but he is loving too. Verse chapter 2, chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, verse 21 says, God made him, Jesus. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. God cannot deny his nature. He is just and he is merciful. So he sent Jesus to pay for our sins. First Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. The last and third statement we see here in these two verses is, the gospel of Jesus reveals the type of faith we need to have to be saved. So, we can see in the end of the verse, say, by the righteous man shall live by faith. We can say that we have three types of faith. Okay? Three types of faith. The first faith is an intellectual faith. What does it mean? Yeah, I know that God exists. I know that Jesus exists. But without change of behavior. This faith goes only here, until the neck. Okay? And this kind of faith, even the demons have. Okay? The demons knows that God exists. This kind of faith do not save. Only a knowledge of the existence of God in Jesus Christ leads no one to heaven. There is a second one. A temporal faith. Or maybe we can say circumstantial faith. It's people that really have faith when they are in trouble. When they are in trouble, when they need miracles, when they need to be healing. So they have faith. They try everything. It's all about them. It's not about God. It's not about Jesus. So, temporal faith is one that serves only to receive healing and miracles, but hardly comes a change of attitude and commitment with Christ. There's a third one we can call a salvific faith. It is when we trust and rely exclusively on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our salvation. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals that the faith we need to have is the salvific faith. That is, trust that only Jesus Christ can save us. This is the gospel. And when you see, it's not about me, it's about God, it's about His glory, and only Him can save me. There is no another way. When you think about that, when you look yourself and say, for me, in itself, I don't have hope. Only you, Jesus, can save. And I trust and I rely only in you, in what you did. This is the faith we talk about. Conclusion here. When you read the book of Romans, we need to remember that brings in its foundation the idea that the gospel is for everyone. There is no race, there is no boundaries. Everyone should listen to the gospel. Everyone. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Three things we learn this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals the power of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals the justice of God. And the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals the type of faith we need to be saved. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for the gospel. In the gospel we see your power, the power to save us. In your gospel, we see your justice. You are loving God, you are just. And because of that, you send Jesus Christ to die for us. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, to show us what kind of faith we need to have. Believe only you, Jesus. And you pray that you help us, for everyone here, to understand and apply in our own lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.